Welcome to the Heyoka Coach Podcast. We're going to go deep, we're going to go heavy on subjects like awareness, energy, awakening to higher states of consciousness, all for the purpose of walking us through our journey from awareness to enlightenment, one moment at a time. You are no longer alone on this journey. I will be with you every step of the way. What are mental models? Internal dialogues, internal scripts, ways in which we operate, ways in which we think we're supposed to operate, things we've learned as the way in which life works from a very young age. We're going to dive into all that. We're going to go in heavy, we're going to go in deep, and we're going to talk about what makes us tick. We're going to talk about all of the influences we've had in our lives that created things that we've identified with within us that we think is us. The mental models that we've built around the construct of our existence, the illusion of who we are, if you will, the mental models that we identify with, that we think makes us who we are. We're going to break that illusion. From the time I was born, as far back as I can remember, I've been told this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, this is how you act in this situation, this is how you don't act, do this, don't do that. You are this, you aren't that. All these definitions, all these little scripts that were written within me since I was born, all the way up to the age I am now, whether it be my parental units talking to me about what I should and shouldn't do, aunts and uncles and closely related family, teachers, all of them, various forms written into me about what I should and shouldn't do, the way things are, the way math interprets life, the way science is truly the picture of the way things are. You know, all of these things, all of these constructs that we build within us, these mental models that throughout my life have been constructed for me and by me through acceptance of all these things that are told to me throughout my life and have been told to me and still continue to be told to me. No, don't do it this way, do it that way. Enough. Enough with being defined from outside of us. The only definition, the only true definition of us is what's inside of us, the true structure of who we are, not the mental models that we've built, not the constructs, the inner programs, the patterns of behavior that we've created around what we should and shouldn't do based on what we were told by others, external influences. How do we shed those? How do we identify those? How do we get to the root of those? When we live in the moment and we go through life, we can easily start identifying some of these internal programs that are running. Let's look at it from a very simple basis. You wake up in the morning, you have a script that you run. Turn off the alarm, stand up, you rub your eyes, sit up in the bed, go in, brush your teeth, start the shower, get the water to the temperature that you like it. Before you know it, you're walking into work, you do your work, you know, you interface with people. You're kind of robotic. You just kind of go through these scripts, these automated scripts that were written. You know, these behavior patterns, these the way in which you live, right? What defines how you operate each day, both physically and emotionally? From sitting up in the bed until laying down in the bed, how you operate physically and emotionally throughout the day is ran by a series of scripts that you've taught yourself and allowed others to influence throughout your entire life. So let's look at it from, I don't want to be too specific, because then we get into divisions, and I refuse to go into divisional. Everything is one, and one is everything. As you learn who I am, and as you learn who I operate, I don't see divisions in anything. Everyone, everything is the same. So let's just look at the census, the 2020 census. Many of you have taken it, many will take it, and there's a whole slew of questions on there, right? You know, from where were you born, your mother's name, your blood type of your fifth ancestor's DNA dating back to however far you go back into your DNA structure. They want to know just about everything, right? All of that. If you think about the combined questions that they ask in a census, unfortunately, that's how we define ourselves. When you go in for a job interview and they say, tell me about you, and you say, I'm this, that, and the other thing. You're just basically spewing off a bunch of the data that you put on a census form. I am defined by this information robotically. You just spew information to them because That's what you identify with, right? That's what I have identified with most of my life. That's what most of us identify with. The constructs, the structures around us that define us. That's in essence who we think we are. And it isn't. We are far from that, actually. We are the existence outside of that. We are the existence that transcends and includes all of that. Sure, just like science, just like math, you can give me a form and I can fill it out with a bunch of data points which allow you to identify me as a certain whatever type of person, class of person, all of the things that the census asks about, all the divisions and the layers and the structures and the history, all of that is used to identify us, right? To classify us, to pigeonhole us, to put us into a box and say, this is what this person is. But that's not who we are. We're very dynamic, organic individuals that change moment by moment. You are not the person you were yesterday. And if you think about who you were 5 years ago, it's easy to see that you're not that same person. If it's 10 years ago, you're not that same person. Every moment of every single day that you change, you become a different person. That's the person I identify with, the one that sits outside of all that census data, the one that doesn't identify with any of that, understands all of that. Sure, we can't take that away. You know, we are those answers in essence. If you want to look at it in a reductionist standpoint, you know, this is all the math. This is all the data that makes up who we are based on the data that's collected. Sure. That's a subset of who we are, though, right? I mean, that's not our complete being. For sure not. They don't know your thoughts. They don't know your dreams. They don't know your ambitions. Not your true ambitions. Not the ones that you don't even share with anybody. Nobody can possibly know that. Nobody really knows what you're thinking at the end of the day. Moment by moment, you're very dynamic. You're very unique. You're very individual. Not the census data. You are not the census data. That's just simply who you aren't. Only. Sure, we can classify you in any bucket, but you know in your heart that's not who you are. You know you're an existence that's greater than that. You know that you cannot be pigeonholed. You realize that you are much larger than that. Many of us get offended when we have to answer one of those questions, a yes or a no, or a binary one or a zero. Because wait a minute, I'm in the middle of that. I'm much more broad than that. I don't want you to classify me like that. That is the start of it. That is the beginning. That is the understanding that you are not that. That's where you begin. That's how you unravel this. That's how you dismantle the mental models. That's how you start to reprogram who you identify with. Because whom we all should be identifying with is our own self. If we're to love anything unconditionally, we are to love ourselves unconditionally. Because frankly, we cannot love anybody else unconditionally unless we love ourselves first. Period. And if we can't unwind some of these mental models, we're never going to get to our true selves, who we really are inside, because we're not the census data. That is all part of the mental model and everything that comes with it. How you're supposed to operate because of the way you filled out this census model. You're supposed to do all these things because you've answered all these questions on the census, right? This is what your behavior is because there's a lot of patterns that come with that data. You chose this specific path, so your behaviors must align with that specific path. But we're not like that, right? Just because we say that we're this kind of job and we're performing in this kind of job on the census, that doesn't mean that that's where our heart is. That means that something we're doing to make ends meet, to make income, so we can do the things that we love in life, the things outside of the census data that makes us who we are, right? If we love to go camping, if we like to be in nature, we're not putting that on the census data, but they're seeing in the census data that we have a job, right? And we are a X, Y, and Z, but that's not who we are. We're that person that's joy-filled when we're out in nature, with our feet in the water of the pond as it laps up onto our feet and we feel the cool water take our stress away. That's who we are. We work because we want to get to the point where we can be ourselves, right? So we can afford ourselves that weekend at the lake or an escape one day just to go for a drive and put our feet in the river. Whatever it is, that's who we are. The person outside the census data that sure can be defined in a small scale on a microcosm by the census data, but that's just a mere slice of who we truly are. Right? We're bigger than that. The mental models say we're everything the census data is, and that's all. Oh, maybe there's a little free thought outside of that, but really, you're all just this. No, we're not. We're not. And we know that in our hearts, we know that. We know when we're trying to be pigeonholed, when we go to a boss and we say, we would really love to do this job. And they say, well, you've been doing this job for 2 years. You're so good at it. We want to keep you there. They don't understand. It's a mental model. They don't understand that you want to be bigger than that because they're in a mental model, right? They're stuck as the boss that wants to make sure that the performance is getting out. So it makes sense for them to keep you in a role where you're highly productive. That's their mental model they're stuck in. They're not thinking about you and outside your mental model. They're seeing you as a mental model that can be an ultimate performer in this role and get the production out as they need it, right? That's their mental model. That's the role in which they're taking on. That's the container in which they operate, their mental structure, their inner dialogue, their program. That's how they've been wired to operate. They're not necessarily looking out for what you need outside of that normal structure. And I'm not suggesting the work is a place to do this. You know, your boss should always be cognizant of, you know, what your needs are outside and give you this opportunity. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm suggesting is that it's just the mental model. When you talk about work, there's more structure. It's easy to understand mental models. These same mental models, because they're a little bit more structured, command and control, they're demanding production at a certain rate. So it's a little bit easier to see that, you know, police-like structure, if you will, of demand and delivery of output, right? It's easier to see that mathematically. Not so much when you're in your family dynamic or your social dynamic, where you're hanging around with all your friends sitting by a campfire. The same thing's happening. They all are operating under their mental models. You are operating under your mental model, which is all the things you've learned, basically all the consensus, all the census data, all compiled, layered on top of a bunch of behaviors that come with all of that pre-programming that you've had for your entire life. You're operating in this, you know, Windows or Mac operating system that your parental units and all your environment have programmed your entire life with the allowance of you and with the acceptance of you and with the invitation of you. I mean, we didn't know any better. Of course we listen to our parents. Of course we listen to our brilliant aunt who always gives us this great insight. They're adults. They know. They're wise. It's not until we start getting wise ourselves and we start seeing that some of these things we've been told our entire lives don't make sense, right? Wait, this doesn't make sense. So you start violating, if you will, those mental models. Your aunt told you that things need to be exactly this way in this circumstance. And you even at the time questioned it, or maybe not, but over time you may have. I know most certainly I've questioned just about everything in my life, and I do on a regular basis. That's part of the renewal process. That's part of making sure that I'm not stuck in mental models, is to check everything that I'm doing on a regular basis to make sure I'm not stuck in some pattern that doesn't serve me well. That's what this is all about, is the analysis of the mental models in which we operate in and the ability to go in and start rewiring or eliminating those completely where they don't serve us. Mental models aren't bad. You know, you do need to wake up every morning. You do need to brush your teeth. You do, and you can get into autopilot. That mental model serves you well. Keep it. Make it more efficient. Make it so it has more joy in it. You know, do it. You know, modify your teeth brushing so you can see the sunrise each morning or the sunset if you work midnight. Whatever it is, adjust that so it serves you better. But by all means, if a mental model serves you, keep it. If that program and this pattern of behavior serves you well, then it's something that is good. It hasn't been defined, or even if it was defined by an external source, if it's serving you, keep it within your program. But it's those other program scripts, it's those other spin outs, those reactional energies, it's those things that you've learned that conflict with who you are inside, you know, what your ultimate purpose in life is, or what your purpose is in this moment. it doesn't align with that. And if you continue those behaviors, it's unhealthy. And you get reactive and, you have regrets or you have resentment because you're sick of following the same paradigm that you've been told to do your entire life. So resentment builds up, which is just anger based on following a model that you didn't believe to begin with. And then the fear that comes from it, from trying to dismantle it, because it's a core belief. It's something that's been instilled in you from the very young age. You trust your aunt, you trust your parents. And now you're being presented with something that has a conflict within you. What I learned from my aunt doesn't serve me anymore. It may have never served me. Now what do I do? Perfect moment in time. Perfect moment to pivot. Perfect moment to analyze what this program is you're following, what this script is, the full scope of this script. Where did it come from? Why did my aunt say that? I wonder what her experiences were that made her believe that way. But realization that that was her belief that she was projecting onto you based on the way she was raised in her circumstances, that doesn't mean that it applies to you exactly the way she presented it. Just like any information given to you by anybody, any source, any book, anything that you watch on a podcast, even my words as I'm speaking them to you now, take in what only works for you. Take into your script only what serves you. And get rid of anything within your inner dialogue, inner script, inner programming, mental models that no longer serve you. It is your responsibility. It is your duty to go within and cleanse all of those internal programs that no longer serve you. Why is it a duty? Why is it, why do I make it sound like something that you just have to do? Because you're not living right now. You're not living as you. I wasn't living as me. That's why I know that. I wasn't living as me because I was resentful about a lot of the things that I felt I had to do every day, which supported other people's goals that weren't supporting mine. The sacrifices we make, right? And sacrifices are noble. Sacrifices are needed in this world. Sometimes you have to give in on something that you need in order to support somebody else in the moment. But that's not how you have to operate in your everyday life. You don't always have to feel like you have to give in or always have to have your way to go the other way. It's a give and take. But it's a realization that the mental models in which you operate need to be done in a healthy manner and have balance. So when you dig into these scripts, when you dig into the mental models, it's when you start looking at, are they balanced? Do they serve me and others? Is this one just serving me? And is that healthy? Sure, you can have scripts that just serve you because, you have needs that you need fulfilled. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You have got to have that security and safety and balance. So there are certain scripts that you'll run that will only serve you. And that's fine. That's, it's selfish because you need to be selfish in order to satisfy your own needs. Not selfish in a bad way, not overly selfish and not overly indulgent, but you need to take care of your core security protocols. Once that's done, you look at each of the scripts that are written around you in your daily life, everyone you stumble into. If you have issue with it, if it doesn't feel like it's serving you, that's when you investigate it. You look at where it came from. You understand why it's written. My aunt said it this way. I don't necessarily agree with that script that she's trying to apply on me, so I'm going to alter it. My aunt said to do A, B, and C when this came up because that's the way things are done. I agree with A and B, my aunt. I love you, but that C doesn't serve me. And I'm going to modify that script so it serves me better. Now, obviously, with balance, you don't want to make sure it overserves you or underserves you. And you want to make sure it doesn't take more from others than it gives to others. You want to make sure you're maintaining your inner gyroscope and the gyroscope of those around you. You don't want to be offensive to their soul, the same way you don't want to be offended or have your soul offended. So find the balance. Rewrite your program so it has balance not only for you, first and foremost, but on those around you, and especially the ones you care for. Find balance in your mental models in that way. So this is a pretty thorough description of mental models. I am going to dig into lots of parts of this. I'm going to dissect this, especially in the shadow work area, what it takes to go in and unwind some of these internal programs. Some of these aren't even known. Those are what is known as shadows, what I'm referring to as a shadow as well through Carl Jung's work. Those are what we're going to go in. I'm going to do another podcast and probably a whole series on shadow work because it's intense. And one mere podcast isn't even going to come close. So I'm going to walk you through a series of shadow works that I've done over the past years, especially the last 3 years. I'm going to deep dive into these. I'm going to be real. It's going to be as deep and dark and joyful as the experiences were. Because I don't think you're going to be able to learn how to get through this, wherever you might be stuck on your journey. I needed somebody there to show me my way through some of this stuff, and those resources weren't available for me. But they are for you. The internet is huge. There's a lot of people doing this, a lot of people talking about it. I'm just one of many. If anything that I'm saying resonates with you, let me know in the comments. Send me an email, go to my website, and let me know what's resonating or what isn't with you. Any feedback, positive, negative, good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. It allows me to know where you are in your journey, and then I can create future materials that might help steer you in a direction that may have assisted me along my journey. So, looking forward to working with you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.